This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. This particular tape is entitled The ABCs and D and E of the Transition from Apologetics to Evangelism. This is a pre-recorded live talk given by me, Vin Lewis, to a group of Catholics in the state of Wisconsin in January of 1995. By pre-recorded, I mean that I recorded this live talk before I actually gave it by reading from my notes for two reasons. Number one, so that those who attend the talk could, if they so desired, obtain copies of the talk immediately. And number two, in case my live recording devices failed, which has happened in the past, there would be a record of what I said on that particular night. With that in mind, let me start the talk. Again, the ABCs and D and E of transforming apologetics into evangelism. Allow me an introduction and a greeting. But before everything else, allow me to ask you a rhetorical question. What did you come here tonight to see? A man clothed in soft garments? A reed shaken by the wind? If so, then please leave now, as you will neither like nor benefit from what I have to say to you. Thanks for coming here tonight. I hope that what you are looking for is some very, very practical advice, for this is what I am going to give you tonight. This stuff is the stuff that works. Let me put it another way. If, after my talk tonight, your life is not changed forever, then you have wasted your time and my effort. This is not one of those talks to which you listen and then go home and make a few comments about it and then forget. This is the kind of talk which changes your life forever and profoundly. And I intend to change the way you think about your religious obligations. Nothing is more profound than religion, and I intend to induce in you a change as to the way you act religiously. I intend to change your thought patterns, your goals, your reactions, and your willingness to do things. I am here as your teacher. If you are willing to learn, then listen, learn, and be better. Life's goal. The only thing, I repeat, the only thing which matters in life is that you get into heaven. The second most important thing in life is that you spend as little time as possible in purgatory. And this could apply to your loved ones, too. This stuff will help you get into heaven and kill off time in purgatory. What is the essence of Christianity? Let me get to the prime directive of Christianity, which is to say, Catholicism. It is this: reproduce according to your own kind. This means to populate the world with Catholics. Even regarding those of you who are called to reproduce according to the natural way, by being a father or mother, your obligation does not end with birth. You must do all that you can to keep your children in the church. With regard to those not of your own body, you can do this by creating new children from people who are not yet Catholic. If you raise a child, and this child does not die within the fold of the Church of Rome, then this life was a failure, and you may be partially responsible. Let me digress for a moment. Let me deal with a very important matter, some basics of human nature. All human beings, by definition, have free will. All human beings, by revelation, are included in an overall divine plan by which they may come to a knowledge of truth and be saved. Thus, all men may freely choose to accept God and be saved, or reject this plan and be damned. No one can ever be responsible for the salvation or damnation of another. Thus, everyone will wind up in either heaven or hell as a result of a decision of an infallible divine justice, confirming our own individual choices and personalities. Nonetheless, we are responsible not for the end result of what happens to others, but we will be held responsible for how we approach the entire matter. At least one Catholic saint used to say that we need to pray as if everything depends on God and need to work as if everything depends on us. We are told that if we do not feed the least of the brothers of Jesus, then we will go to hell. We are also told that these same brothers should not worry about such things because God will feed them. This is a basic principle of Christianity. We are to do what we are to do, not because it is necessary, nor because it will yield some objectively, verifiably good result. We are to do what we are to do simply because God has told us what to do. This is the essential nature of goodness. Therefore, two things follow. One, none of us can avoid our responsibility to evangelize by holding that God will find some other way if we do not bother. Two, all of us need to evangelize, as it is the prime obligation of our faith, and this means evangelizing everyone, including family members, neighbors, and strangers. What I shall do in this talk is give you a program by which you may learn how to set up, that is, establish, the environment for evangelism from apologetics. This will work especially well for fallen away Catholics, as in your sons and daughters who no longer attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It will work with Jehovah's Witnesses. If you learn it, then you will be successful. Maybe no one will convert, but you will be able to say that you did the best which could be done. And if you can say this after death, then you will be among the elect. Introduction. This is my intention. Now let me introduce myself to those of you who know neither my organization nor me. All Roads Ministry, ARM. ARM produces, which is to say I produce, a great many individual products which are designed to arm you with the ability to defend, explain, and spread the faith by means of the Bible and right reason. ARM does this better than anything else. If you need help in these areas, then there is no other resource on earth to which you can go. ARM is superb. Everything else is inadequate. To learn and master individual techniques of apologetics and evangelism, look over the ARM catalog or call me personally and then obtain what you need for your specific situation. I am not going to give you the specific techniques of evangelism. Time would not allow it, and this is exactly the nature of many of the products which ARM produces. And I am not here to repeat what has already been produced in other media. Let me give you a simple analogy to explain what I am going to give you. I'm giving you a gun for training purposes, and then giving you a training course on marksmanship that I am letting you go home. I think it unreasonable for you to expect me to also buy for you your ammunition. What I am doing tonight is giving you a very effective strategic campaign. I am not giving you the tactical battle plans. Those plans are available from ARM. If you really want to do something, then you will get them. Intention. I now wish to outline the intention of my talk. In military science, the classic situation is when the general can induce the enemy into an attack while he himself is in a good defensive position. Then, while the enemy has exhausted himself on fruitless attacks, he counterattacks. The problems are many in fulfilling this plan. Nonetheless, if you have a clear conception of what you intend to do, then you are far more likely to achieve it. And perhaps even more important, you are far more likely to stay on track. And I solemnly assure you that the most common and the most damaging mistake most apologists / evangelists make is to fail to stay on the subject at hand. Your plan is this. You are waging war, and you are going from a defense to an offense. To put this in a less military term, if you are driving a car forward and wish to go in reverse, then you first have to fight the momentum of the car and then stop it completely and then put it in reverse. This talk, this ABCDE program, is designed to present a program which can make this transition concept into a reality for you. I now end the introduction and the greeting. The beginning. Let me start off the main exposition of this talk with a joke. A man walks up to a little girl sitting next to a big dog. He asks, "Does your dog bite?" The girl replies, "No." The man looks at this big, mean-looking dog and asks again. The girl replies that her dog has never bitten anyone. So the man reaches down to pet the dog, who gives him a terrible bite on his hand. The man pulls back and yells, "You said that your dog doesn't bite." The little girl replies, "He doesn't. This is not my dog." Why did the man get bitten? The real reason is that the girl gave a factually correct answer, but not a truthful one. By this I mean that what she said was in conformity with a specific part of reality, but did not fulfill the nature of the man's request for truth. It was not full of truth. So let me give some working definitions as to what I mean by these terms. Knowledge of a fact allows you to answer a specific question. Truth allows you to function effectively in the real world. The injured man had a fact, but he did not have the truth. Paid the price. In a moment, I shall define the key terms which I shall use in this talk. For now, let me give you a mental orientation by which you should approach this subject. Apologetics deals with facts. Evangelism deals with truth. I repeat. Apologetics deals with facts. Evangelism deals with truth. Definitions. Now let me define a bunch of key words which I shall use in this instructive talk. Pay attention. This is the stuff you need to know. I have set up this program in such a way as to encourage you to remember and learn it. It does you no good to listen to this talk and then not employ it. So the definitions will be in order. Alphabetical order. I shall start with the A's and proceed to the E. And the letters represent. A is for authority and or answering mechanism and or abstraction. B is for the Bible and or belief system. C is for church. D is for denunciation. E is for evangelism. You may have noticed that I do not include apologetics in my list. Nonetheless, it is my first definition. It is the foundation of what you are doing. Apologetics, the successful and effective defense of the one true faith or some element of it. I repeat, apologetics, the successful and effective defense of the one true faith or some element of it. Successful means that you obtain a not guilty verdict concerning the attack made against the faith. Effective means that you gain indulgences as a result of your effort. Apologetics is not represented by one of these letters. However, it is essential for you to understand it in order to understand what I'm talking about. The following are represented by the letter A. A may stand for authority, answering mechanism, and or abstraction. Authority, that status given to a person, institution, or thing, which allows him or it to render binding decisions in certain defined areas. Authority, that status given to a person, institution, or thing, which allows him or it to render binding decisions in certain defined areas. Answering mechanism, the means by which a person determines the answers to certain questions or justification of judgments. Answering mechanism, the means by which a person determines the answers to certain questions or justification of judgment. Abstraction, a process by which the universal characteristics of a subject are identified and described. Abstraction, a process by which the universal characteristics of a subject are identified and described. That's the A's. B represents either Bible or belief system. Bible, a book consisting of two parts, put together, authorized, and published by the Catholic Church at the end of the 4th century. Bible, a book consisting of two parts, put together, authorized, and published by the Catholic Church at the end of the 4th century. Belief system, a coherent and consistent set of interdependent statements involving values. This may be, at times, another word for religion. Belief system, a coherent and consistent set of interdependent statements involving values. This may be, at times, another word for religion. C stands for church. Church, a word which has so many problems associated with it because it can validly mean so many different things. Church, a word which has many problems associated with it because it may validly mean so many different things. Its primary Catholic use, the institution founded by Jesus on St. Peter, which has membership on earth, in purgatory, and in heaven. When using it this way, the key concept is to keep in mind that the church is perfect in her two primary roles, which are, number one, to pass on, unchanged, the teachings of Jesus given through the apostles. Number two, to provide the means of salvation, which means primarily the sacraments, to the elect. Church may also mean, the word church may also mean, A denomination, a vague collection of all religions, an individual building, a denomination, a congregation, a religious service, some word which the mass media uses, church officials. The only other commonly used definition which should be of interest to you is the common Protestant so-called definition. This is the collection of true believers. Again, the Protestant definition is church is the collection of true believers. The Protestant will not offer what must be believed, or what is true, or who these people are, or where they collect, or when. Nonetheless, this is what he means when he says this word. It is absolutely essential for you to understand that the non-Catholic never means the same thing as you when he says this word. The non-Catholic seldom means the same thing as you when he uses any word. You must always make distinctions. When you are dealing with the real world, unfortunately, most absolutes become relatives. What you mean is not what the other guy means. This is especially true for the non-Catholic, as he is not looking at things from the correct perspective. An expensive gift means one thing to Donald Trump and something quite different to a person on welfare. If you forget this fact, then you are doomed to wasted time and effort. D stands for denunciation. Denunciation, the formal and unqualified elimination of a position or person from having the quality of credibility. Denunciation, the formal and unqualified elimination of a person from having the quality of credibility. E stands for evangelism, the presentation of the one true faith with the sole goal of the listener accepting the truth and becoming a faithful Catholic. Evangelism, the presentation of the one true faith with the sole goal of the listener accepting the truth and becoming a faithful Catholic. Before I go any further, let me add a few additional remarks here. Before you attempt this effort, you should keep these few things in mind. One concerns the nature of the person with whom you are dealing, and the second deals with the nature of apologetics. The non-Catholic. Regarding the person, let me point out that there is an essential difference between the lapsed Catholic and the ex-Catholic, and your approach to each is to be essentially different. If you want to learn how to distinguish between the two, then obtain the Arm Fallen Away book. Your approach is different because in one case you use nagging and guilt, and in the other you use direct confrontation. If you care enough about this, then ask it in the question and answer period, or buy the book, or call me. Apologetics. Regarding apologetics, let me point out the obvious. You cannot defend what is not attacked. Therefore, if there is no attack on the faith, then you cannot make an apologetic effort. So what do? You provoke an attack. Let me hold this word provoke in suspension for a moment. In the meantime, let me go back to some more basics. The nature of Catholicism. Let me go back to basics. Catholicism is the one true God-established religious system by which man may be saved. Everything else is wrong and anti-God. Thus, everything else is already an attack on God, the Blessed Mother, truth, goodness, etc. You have to make this fact self-evident by apologetic efforts. I repeat, all non-Catholicism is already an attack. Let me use a simple illustration to get this most important fact across. Illustration. It is perfectly legitimate, permitted, and moral for a man to go bowling. This does not change because the man is married. Bowling costs money. So what? If a man spends so much money on bowling that as a result he does not have any money to spend on shoes for his daughter, then this is child abuse. This is immoral, should be illegal, and is not permissible. So bowling is child abuse? No. Allow me to give you an example of abstraction and recall. An abstraction is something listed as one of the parts of this method. Illustration. If a man is obligated by his state in life to do X, and if any other act, let us call it A, prevents him from doing X, then this act A is wrong. To put it another way, act A becomes an attack on the moral obligation of X, or the moral obligation X of man. As all men are obligated to come into and honor the church, then all non-Catholic acts, even if otherwise not inherently immoral, are attacks on the church. Thus, singing in groups is perfectly allowed. Thus, singing in a Protestant service is a sin against God. It stops you from attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and gives witness to a strange God. Back to provoking. Let me remind you where we are. I have pointed out that you need not defend, that you cannot defend what is not attacked. I have told you you may need to provoke an attack. We haven't started the program yet. I'm still building a foundation. Then what do I mean by provoke? I mean to get the person to commit to the fact that he is actually opposing Catholicism. This may be your most difficult task. Most non-Catholics will simply refuse to admit that they are anti-Catholics. To bypass this, try the following, and I will give you an illustrative dialogue. At this time, I request that you turn the tape over to side two, where the talk, starting with the illustrative dialogue, shall continue. Thank you. Arm tape, side two, the ABCs and D&E of the transition from apologetics to evangelism. We are at the point where I'm trying to explain and give an illustration of how you can provoke an attack on Catholicism. Illustration of a dialogue. You. Do you object to Catholicism? He. No, not really. Some of my best friends are Catholic. You. Okay. I will pick you up this Sunday, and we will go to Mass together. And I will sign you up for classes for conversion, and I'll make an appointment for you to be baptized, and I'll be your godfather. How wonderful. He. Hold it. I did not say that I would become a Catholic. You. Actually, you did. For if you have no objections, then, unless you are completely dishonest, you will join that which is perfect, which Catholicism is. He. I never said Catholicism was perfect. You. I did. But you totally agree with me on this without any qualification, as you have no objection whatsoever. He. It's not true. Actually, I was being polite. I have objections. You. What, and they are? I repeat, this is going to be difficult under most circumstances. Do not, I repeat, do not be surprised that most non-Catholic bigots have no objection. Do not be surprised, because all non-Catholics reject the church for one reason, and one reason only, and this is sin. No one has a problem with the dogmas and doctrines of Catholicism, every non-Catholic is an evil, sinful bigot. And this is why he rejects God, his Blessed Mother, and his Church. A voiced objection, or an unvoiced objection. Let me assume, simply so that we can proceed, that you managed to obtain some voiced objection from this fellow. Let me return to my dialogue. I just can't accept this purgatory business, or the Immaculate Conception, or confession, or etc., etc., etc. You. So, if I show you that X, whatever the abstracted objection is actually in accord with the eternal will of God for man, then you will enter, or re-enter, the Church, won't you? This is a key question. There are two. I shall mention the second one later. They are related. But why is this a key question? Because it will allow you to do two things. Again, the question is, if I can show you that X is right, will you then enter the Church? And the two things this key question will allow you to do, number one, it will establish that the doctrinal part of Catholicism is not what keeps a person out of the Church. Number two, it allows you to justify your denunciation, recall the letter D, by a formal exposure of a self-contradiction. Is it possible that the objector will actually say that he will convert if, when you show him the validity of the dogma? I suppose it is. I can simply assure you that I have never encountered anyone like this, and I am the expert in the field with more experience than anyone else. So where are we? You do have an objection, and you do have a non-Catholic, but he has already told you that your efforts are going to be wasted, and he's not going to convert no matter what, because he's answered your key question in this way. So what do? Push on. Why? For several reasons. Number one, it's good practice. Number two, it produces indulgences. Number three, you may influence someone else, as in some bystander who overhears your effort. The person may be lying and maybe he will be convinced. Number five, this is one more part of a cosmic battle for his soul, and every soldier has to do his part, even if it looks fruitless. Number six, most importantly, God says so. So proceed. Notice that we're not yet at any of the letters. We're not even at A. Recall that A does not stand for apologetics. What I have done up until now is pure preparation. You needed a tank, and I got you one. Let me now distinguish between the normal crushing apologetic technique and this transforming type, which I am presenting to you tonight. I remind you that I am trying to present you a transformation technique by which you can transform apologetics into evangelism. Apologetics and evangelism. Apologetics defeats, that is, exposes the dishonesty of, the attacks against the faith. This is directed against the statement of a person. Evangelism is an invitation. This is directed towards a person's will. One is abstract, while the other is personal. Normal, classic, arm apologetics simply points out self-contradiction in the statement or the credibility of the person who is stating it. Normal, classic, arm apologetics is not concerned with transformation, but with destruction. Therefore, you need to keep in mind your end goal and your intermediate goals. Your ultimate goal is to bring about an evangelistic effort. Your intermediate goal is to get the matter to the next stage. Therefore, do not get bogged down at any stage but the last. the letter A. We are now at stage one, the letter A. We have an attack, and you first need to examine it with the following goal. Either identify and destroy the authority by which the person makes the attack, or identify and destroy the answering mechanism by which he arrives at answers to questions, such as, what is wrong with Catholicism? The third way is to abstract and destroy. As the first two are very easy, I shall deal with them first. And all you have to do is ask the very simple question, says who? No matter what their objection is, ask this and then proceed to the next letter. Abstraction may take a bit more effort, so I shall illustrate. Illustration. I once asked a Jimmy Swaggart official why he was not a Catholic. He replied that he had no doctrinal difficulties, but he did not see Catholics live up to their faith's requirements. So, he was saying this: X disqualifies A as a true faith, and X is sinning, and A is Catholicism. But once we abstract it, does this also apply to Swaggartism? Does this apply when A is Swaggartism and X is Jimmy Swaggart's sin? If yes, then he cannot be a seeker of truth, as he is embraced by his own definition of false faith. If no, then he has exposed himself as an evil bigot. I deal with this specific technique, which is quite literally invincible, in one, maybe two, of my books. I point out to you that you are not so much interested in the answer, as all the answers are garbage, but in the abstracted authority or answering mechanism behind the answer. The transition goes from this point from A to B. The transition from A, point A to point B. Once you get any answer, you have a belief system. Many times, perhaps most of the time, the person will offer that his belief system is the Bible. It does not really matter what he says. It will always be something like this: I believe, which means trust, X. X being some charismatic leader, some denomination, some author, some system of biblical interpretation, etc. But always, this is a matter of the will. I choose to believe X. Now, what you need to do is to destroy X and establish that his belief is not only unreasonable, but immoral. Illustration. I give an illustration. Let us suppose the other guy says that he is a Bible-only fundamentalist. Fine. Point out that the Bible demands that we go beyond it. Observe. Does the Bible record that Jesus taught many things which are not recorded in the Bible? Yes. Does Jesus solemnly assure us that his words will not pass away but last forever? Also, yes. Does the Bible record that Jesus commands that people live by every word that comes forth in the mouth of God? Yes. Therefore, we are required to live by words not recorded in the Bible. That is, if we take the Bible as an authority. Any non-Catholic belief system can be destroyed as easily. All you need is the ammunition. And you know where to get that ammunition. You know where to get armed. Now we are at the point where the other guy freely chooses a certain authority and/or answering mechanism, and you have crushed this, shattering it in front of his very eyes. This is still apologetics. He is wrong, dead wrong, totally wrong, damnably wrong. But this is not enough if you desire to transform the matter into evangelism. To do this, we have to get from B to C, and C stands for church. The transition area between B and C. There are two general ways to handle this matter. The first is purely defensive. The second is transitional in nature. You may find that you need to employ both. Here is the first. It is both simple and devastating. If the Bible does not mention the Catholic Church, then the Bible does not condemn the Catholic Church, does it? I mention this because it is very frequent that the Bible-only types will argue that something in Catholicism is in conflict with the Bible. By the same token, their belief systems do not condemn Catholics to hell. So you can substitute belief system for a Bible. Therefore, if you are dealing with some guy who is attacking the church on the basis of the Bible, then point out that he cannot comment. You may not admit this, but you have a point which you can establish if you work at it. If he argues that some individual issue, for example, purgatory, is not in the Bible, and of course it is in many places, then you may simply point out that therefore it is not condemned by the Bible. It's not mentioned. It's not condemned. The second way to handle this is the first transitional type tactic. What you are trying to do is to get the other fellow to ask about X. Does not matter what X is. You have an abstracted reply, good in all circumstances. Your answer should be, I know because God tells me so, via the instrumentality of the Catholic Church. The end statement for which you are striving is this. If she is the true church, then what she teaches is true. And you should expect in reaction to this the following. Oh yeah? How do you know it's the one true church? And now you are into a case of perfect evangelism. Your sole goal is to establish the validity of our faith by using any number of proofs, any of all of which are completely convincing. But as the alphabet does not go from C to E, neither do you, from church to evangelism. You must first go through the D stage, denunciation. Denunciation. Some of you may object to the word denunciation, however, it is necessary and appropriate. It is this because you must destroy any thought, any hint, any implication, any shadow of an implication that what you are saying about the Catholic Church is also true about any other denomination. You must make it clear that there our faith is unique, a unique thing of its own kind, and is comparable to nothing else. And to do this, you must first disqualify the other candidate from consideration. So before you offer your proof, you disqualify the other guy. If you do not, then at the end, after you spend all the time and effort of proving the Catholic Church to be the valid one, the other guy will say, me too. As an aside, getting the other guy to admit that his church is very, very corrupt is very, very easy. That is, it is easy, very easy, if and only if you do it before you present Catholic proofs. So do it this way. Follow the sequence. D before E. Trust me on this. An illustration. Let me give an illustration from my own experience of how to get to this point of denunciation. Brian was an ex-Catholic who who had become a Baptist and then came back to being a Catholic. I dealt with him when he was still outside the church. The subject of his own choosing was prayer. Brian was objecting that he felt that the Baptist system of prayer was superior. And this means to say, what comes into your mind and heart spontaneously as moved by the Spirit? After all, what can you gain if you merely repeat by rote the memorized words of some other person, as we Catholics do? Consider your answer for a moment before I give you the correct, masterful answer. I asked Brian the following. Which is easier? By this, I mean, which requires less effort? To repeat the words of another, or to say what you yourself feel? Being sinful, of course. He answered, totally wrongly, that it is easier to speak the words of others. But this is never true. As to do what requires discipline and order and planning and memory is much harder than to simply say whatever you feel and whatever pops into your head. And now I ask Brian, does God want from us our least effort or our most involved? Does he want little easy things from us, or does he want from us what requires effort and discipline and training and thought and analysis and, well, you get the point. First, we obtained the objection. Then, we sought out an authority system, God. Then, we abstracted. Then, we destroyed. And we denounced him by asking, really, Brian, how can you say your system of prayer is better than a Catholic? You may denounce by questioning, but the question better be directional and pointed. Let me go back to denunciation and intolerance. Denunciation implies intolerance, doesn't it? And tolerance is an American virtue, isn't it? It is. And abortion is as American as apple pie. American values put you in hell. America was founded by a bunch of anti-Catholic Freemasons. But let me illustrate the value and the virtue of intolerance. When you go to a bank and cash a check for $100, you demand, in justice, that the teller give you five $20 bills or its equal. You do not tolerate three $20 bills, nor one. You do not say that one view is as good as another when it comes to money matters. Come home some night and find a stranger in your daughter's bedroom. How tolerant are you then? Can't you see his view? Why would you try to kill him or call the police? Why not let him stay for a while and try to not judge a man until you have walked a mile in his moccasins? This sounds stupid, doesn't it? It is stupid. Tolerance is not only a vice, it is utterly impossible. Intolerance is not only a virtue, but it is necessary for your salvation. Let me go back to one of my key questions, the second of my key questions. What is the value of truth? If truth has a value, then tolerating non-truth is a direct attack on the value of truth. If truth has no value, then everything should be tolerated. When your child is ill, you do not tolerate the lives of the bacteria which threaten her life. You intolerantly seek the extinction of them. If God's truth is important, then your task is to be totally intolerant of those lies and lying systems which offer themselves as part of it and are not part of Catholicism. And intolerance is the motivation for and the justification of denunciation. And once you have denounced the other guy's system, then you try to move into the vacuum of what is left in the place of the lying nonsense which you have destroyed and declared dead. And this moving in is the transition to evangelism. Evangelism. So the objections are refuted and the intolerant denunciation made. You have gone from A to B to C to D, and now only E is left. Evangelism. How do you do it? Evangelism is the end of this presentation, but the beginning of the rest of your life. Recall how I started this talk. I am here to change your lives forever. From now on, once you understand and put into practice this program, you are now going to be evangelists. So this talk is all preparation. It's all the preface of a book of your life. And so as I end this talk, please realize that it is only the beginning. An ending joke. Let me sum up in a certain sense with a different but related joke. In fact, let us make this joke concerning the same man who was bitten by the dog in the opening joke. In fact, this man listened to me and learned how to abstract and not merely ask very specific questions. The man is in Africa and wishes to swim in the Nile. So he finds a likely spot and asks the guide if there are any crocodiles or hippos in the water. You see, the man has read the guidebook. The guide assures him that there are none. So the man swims, reassured that he has effectively abstracted. He comes out, and while he is drying off, he asks the guide why there are no crocodiles or hippos in this part of the river. The guide tells him that the poisonous water snakes have killed them all. So what is the point? If you, like the guide, give some specific information regarding dangers or misconceptions involved in some act, then you have done something good. However, it is only apologetics. The fellow may not die from a crocodile bite, but be bitten by a snake and still die. The only difference would be on the statistics sheets. Your job is to prevent deaths, eternal deaths, by making the other guy aware of all the dangers and by showing him the only safe way. No one dies of snake bites, nor crocodiles, nor hippos while in the bark of St. Peter. It is the only safe place. So go out there and be born again, and this time be born again as real Catholics, as reproductive Catholics, as evangelistic Catholics, for this is what you must be. So go out there and start winning the world for Christ and Our Lady, one soul at a time. Go out there and save your soul, and please don't forget to give me some of the credit when I stand in front of the judgment seat. I'll need it. As a brief repetition of the key points, as a memory aid, remember again, your overall plan is to transform the matter from defensive to offensive, from apologetics to evangelism. You do this first by dealing with the letter A, which means to destroy the authority of the other person, the answering mechanism of the other person, and you may do this by abstraction. So A stands for authority, abstraction, answering mechanism. Abstraction may be thought of as some universal principle which you are trying to apply in case involved. B stands for Bible or belief system. Again, sometimes belief system may stand for religion, and what it is usually related to is authority and answering mechanism. The transition should be natural. C is church. This is where you're trying to transform and center the argument around the nature of the Catholic Church. D, which is a necessary preliminary step before you get into proving the Catholic Church as being correct, which is another word for evangelism, stands for denunciation, the formal denial of the other person of credibility. And E, the presentation of Catholicism with the goal of proving it as true so that the person will become a Catholic. Hope you have enjoyed the talk. I hope you've benefited from it. And I appreciate your listening. You may contact me and learn more about ARM or obtain more ARM products, including additional copies of this tape, by contacting us at the following address: All Roads Ministry, also ARM, 55 Palen, that's P as in perfect, A-L-E-N, Road, number 38, Hope Well Junction, New York, 12533. Hope Well is one word and spelt as it sounds. Thank you for listening. God bless.